Hello, everybody. It's Friday, October 16th, and yes, you are listening to another session of the Geek News Central podcast. I'm Todd, and I have a whole bunch of stuff to go through today, and hopefully we can get through it in short order so that you can get on to the listening to other podcasts that are out there. I know there's a lot of people fighting for recognition right now, but thanks for tuning in. Hey, I've got some things that some listeners sent in that I want to talk about, and I just want to read a comment from Paul, and I'm going to apologize. I'm not going to read Paul's last name because I'm going to destroy the pronunciation of it, but I had talked last week about not including the regular content that I'm already putting up on the website in the podcast, but Paul says, Todd, in my opinion, I don't think you necessarily have to separate content for the podcast from the site. My aggregator is overflowing already, so if you can hear your content, so if I can hear your content during the commute, I don't need to read it. Hey, I understand that. Paul, that's a great comment, and I think I'm going to take you up on that, but I'm going to go fast flashing through the content that I'm putting up on the site, and I guess if you see anything or hear anything, well, if you hear anything, obviously, that trips your trigger, then you can log onto the site itself and grab the link. I'm going to be talking today about a lot of different little sites, and I'm going to be including the links to those sites on the webcast, on the podcast link today. So when you, if you get to, you want to look at the content of a site that I talk about, just go to the Geek News Central website and look for today's podcast entry, and you'll find all the links to those sites. We got a comment from Richard Curry, and he says, I've listened to the two shows. Keep it up. To have people down to you to talk, you may want to look into TeamSpeak. He uses it for playing games with friends, and his record button records in a way, but that's easy enough to encode or transfer to MP3. Also, he had a question, what do you use with movable type to get the RSS2 with enclosures to work? I'm going to, Richard, I'll put up a link for you on today's show to that plugin. And actually, the plugin has been improved, and it also now will ping the audio weblog site that Dave Weiner has set up. And Matt Gilbert writes in saying that the podcast dial-in basically mentioned, I'm talking about the voice over IP and doing dial-ins for you folks that want to call in and leave comments so it can be delivered via MP3. And I know a lot of you guys are using Vonage out there already. And I think it's a little more than I want to spend right now for a service that's just going to, well, you know, it will, obviously it's going to give me voice IP access, and it will also allow the voicemail messages to be emailed to me as an MP3. So I might consider it, but I'm looking for a little cheaper voicemail service so that we can keep costs down here. After all, I work for a living like everyone else does, and we have to be careful with the dollars we spend. Hey, I know all of you know that if you have a webcam, or actually a DV recorder or DV camcorder, that you can use that as a webcam. My biggest complaint with webcams today are that their resolution is quite terrible. You know, you get a fuzzy picture. I know that some of the manufacturers out there have done a lot to improve webcams, but if you've got an old DV camcorder that's laying around, and I know a lot of you don't have an old one laying around, but when you upgrade to your new camcorder, keep your old one. And I found a site that has some great software to be utilized with a DV camcorder that you can make that old camcorder an actual webcam that's going to do live clips for you and with a good video quality. But it's on the site orangeware.com. I'm going to go ahead and put the link up for you guys so you can take a look at that. Thought that was pretty cool because I've got a DV camcorder at home that is just sitting there collecting dust. We don't use it anymore. I think I'm going to utilize this software to get a little better webcam quality. I'm not really familiar with a reader sent in a website. It's called Radio at Netscape. This may have been around for a long time already, but the site is radio.netscape.com. It is allows you to get 175 radio stations for free. I know that there's a lot of services out there that are offering that already, but this is just another one. I have not utilized this before, so if any of you guys are using that radio at Netscape service, let me know. Let me know how the service is on that. Also, I've all of us use these jump drives, these USB drives now. You know, no one carries floppies no more. Someone asked me for a floppy the other day, and I basically looked at them and asked them if they were still living in the Stone Age, and told them to get a USB memory stick. And for those of you that are looking to jump to a higher level, Lexar has a 1 gig jump drive now for, it's unbelievably, $49. I've got the link up for the site on that I found that on. I think that's even cheaper than what I saw CompUSA selling it for. I'm sure you can find it probably for the same price on the net somewhere, but hopefully my goal with Geek News Central has always been to try to find stuff that will allow you to save some money. And I'm hoping that with this link that we give you today, you can save a few dollars on a purchase you may be considering. We all want to get the most bang out of our operating systems, and Windows XP over time can become slower to boot, will not respond as fast. I know there's 100 different sites out there that talk about optimization of Windows XP, but Tech Republic via Ziff Davis published a new optimizing Windows XP tutorial. Looks like a pretty good guide, and it's for those of you that are beginners out there and not power users, make sure you check that out and see if you get some performance increase out of your Windows XP site. You all know I'm a pretty big advocate as far as the RIAA, MPAA go, as far as them extorting money from individuals by, you know, accusing them of downloading MP3s illegally. But another big company out there, or another organization out there, is the Business Software Alliance. They're supported by Microsoft, Apple, Intuit, and others. And this year, their annual campaign collected $2.2 million from individuals out there. Now, they don't go into the total numbers of people that they went after and prosecuted, but they, you know, they basically went out there and got out of court settlements for $2.2 million. And you know, all of us have been guilty at one point or another of probably loading a illegal software package on their computer. And a number of years ago, I resolved never to do that ever again. And I'm happy to say at this point, all the software that is on my computer has been paid for me. Now, I know some of you out there are probably going, well, why pay for software when you can get a crack, or you can, you know, you can share it with a friend. I believe if everyone pays their share, it will ultimately drive software costs down. I believe in paying for what I use, and that goes against the grain of some people, that they believe it's extortion on prices that companies pay for, or that charge for software. And I think the reason sometimes software costs are higher than they should be is because there's a lot of people out there hacking or illegally sharing software. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the tactics that the BSA, RIA, and MPAA use when they go after individuals the way they do. It's haphazard. I think they just draw names out of the hat of suspected people that are either illegally loading software, or companies that are, you know, maybe going and loading more copies than they pay licenses for, etc. So, but $2.2 million, I think that's a pretty big figure, and it would be interesting to see the list of individuals and companies that they went after this year. Now, there is some counter argument to that, and I think I will list both of the links to the article that talked about the money they collected and the counter argument on the recent campaign by the BSA. Let's see here. Every day I like to go through on my referral log on the website and look and see who's linking to the site. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a challenge out there for all of you that listen to the site to put a link to our site and mention our podcast. We're going to go ahead and give you a plug on the next podcast so that those of you that are taking the time and listening to us can be essentially rewarded, and hopefully it can drive some traffic and some exposure back to your site. So all you need to do basically is make an entry, maybe even do a trackback ping to the podcast itself. I'll keep track of everyone that's doing that, and then we'll on the next show we'll give a plug to all of you guys that are linking to the podcast. Technorati, I guess that's how you pronounce it, has David Seifer over there has been producing some interesting statistics about what's been happening in the blogosphere, and he's released part three of that a couple of days ago, and I think it's real interesting to see how far weblogs have come and the impact they're making against traditional media. And I think it's just a matter of time before traditional media realizes that the blogosphere has a potential to overtake them completely. In science news today, a switch problem was linked to the Genesis crash. They believe that some sort of the switch is wired backwards via a blueprint. Now, those of you that know anything about electronics, a switch is usually an in and an out, and then some type of a controlling device. So I don't know how they wired a switch backwards, to be quite honest with you. And it's disturbing to me that that this would actually happen and cause the probe to crash. Be interesting to see what they find out completely about that. The Soyuz capsule today docked with the International Space Station. It was carrying the next crew for the International Space Station, so they're going to be up there a few days getting things turned over. They did have a little bit of a problem during the docking where the spacecraft was approaching the space station faster than it should, and the cosmonaut took over the docking procedure and docked the spacecraft manually. I want to talk about the Google desktop. That's the biggest buzz, I think, that has been going around here for the last 2 or 3 days. And I've been playing with it on my desktop, and I'm absolutely astounded by what they have come up with. For those of you that haven't loaded it yet, I know that some of you have privacy concerns, but make sure you go out to the desktop.google.com site, check out what they have, read the terms of service, and I think you'll be relatively acceptable of the risk to load it on your system and give it a run. It took several hours for the application to index my computer. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with Firefox right now, so it's not indexing any Firefox web pages, and hopefully they get that added in relatively quickly. But I was talking with a coworker about the power of this thing, and I know that you would not necessarily want to share, even if currently the application doesn't allow your data to be sent back channel to Google. So, you know, your bank statements that you have in your computer or your emails that have been indexed are not going to be, any of that data is going to be sent back to Google, according to Google, but it will allow you to do keyword searches on your own computer and find very quickly content that you may be looking for within your own PC. It does allow you to exclude certain folders. That came in handy because I had backups of websites that I've produced, you know, basically thousands of pages of documents that I didn't really want to index, and I was able to put those directories in and exclude those for searches. So if you've got stuff that you're really sensitive about, maybe about bank account data, stock login information, that type of stuff, exclude those folders where that data is. Another thing that you can do, it does go through and it logs all your PST files, and I have a significant number of PST files, and I did find that it did index all of those. So it might be nice if Google will allow you to exclude a specific PST file that is used by Outlook. that would make it a little more, it gives me a little more warm and fuzzy. That's the data that I don't even want searched by myself to be searched. But what my coworker and I was talking about is him and I, in our jobs, we have a directory set up for our work. I basically have a professional directory with all my data from my job in that directory, and he has kind of the same layout. And him and I both all the time are calling each other, hey, you got a document on this, or and vice versa. But what would be really cool is if Google would allow you to have like a buddy list. So let's say my buddy, his name is Tom, and Tom is, he's got a, and it, go along with Tom, there's some sort of an encryption code that we would be able to share, and we would allow each other to search content on each other's computers via a areas that we would allow. So it's almost kind of like a P2P thing with data and with information. I know that I have used Groove quite a bit to do collaboration work with people, and I'm a Groove junkie. I've used that program now for a couple of years, and used extensively working on project management with people that are remote. But there's been many times that the data is not inside a Groove, where it'd be kind of cool to be, if that person's computer was online, to be real quickly, be able to type in a search thing and direct it towards my buddy's computer and be able to search his index and pull that data. Now, I know a lot of you are cringing thinking about making that happen, but as long as the controls were put in place and the software was set up correctly to make sure that that data was not exploitable via a third party that wasn't authorized, I think it would work out real well. I guess we'll see what Google does with this, but the power of a desktop search that they have created here is spectacular. And if you haven't loaded it yet, just to try it out, give it a run. Now, a lot of privacy experts are very, very concerned, and I'm sure that there's hackers out there that are just salivating at the mouth to build an API or build a hack that allow them to get into this search engine or this index that is created and be able to exploit that. Now, that doesn't stop if your computer has been already compromised with a spyware program, a Trojan, something that is not on your computer, that is basically allowing someone else to come in and manipulate your system. You're already in danger, and this just makes it easier for them to find data. So it proves the importance of running a good spyware/Trojan search, a detection element on your computer, along with keeping your antivirus definitions up to date. But we'd like to hear back from you guys on your ideas on what you think the Google Desktop could be used for, things that that you'd like to see. And if you've noticed in the Google Desktop setup, there is a place there where you can go and make suggestions to Google on things that they can do to improve the program. I think that's about all I have for today. There is one last thing. I did talk about it on the website about Overture's improving the way that they allow keyword advertisements. Basically, you can set up an account with Overture. You can set up a list of keywords that are searched and put a bid. You bid for where you want your placement of your keyword. And we used it for a couple of years and for another site. And I'll be quite honest with you, we might as well just take the money that we had invested in that advertising strategy and flush it down the toilet, because we did not get a return on our dollar for that. Now, I think Google has a great program in their ads program, but I just don't agree with the way Overture is working their system in conjunction with Yahoo. And if any of you have feedback on your experience with their program, that they have their advertising program, let me know. At this point, I think it'll be a very long time before I ever do another keyword ad placement with Overture. I guess that's it for today. Thank you for listening in to the Geek News Central podcast. Like always, please send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you visit our site, leave comments on our articles. If you, again, we're still looking for editors. If you are willing to put in some time to be an editor on Geek News Central, drop me a line and we'll get you set up. I'm always looking for people to help us with content. Where we all have busy days, our busy lives, and the data that each of us collects, you know, it's kind of like a coalition. You know, we're all out there looking for information, and if you've got stuff that you want to share with us, please send it to us. And if you don't want to send it to us and you want to become an editor and put it on for your own recognition, please do that. We'll provide a link on the website to your site as a contributing editor. But that's all for now. And good evening, good morning, or good night, wherever you may be, and have a great day. Thanks. Bye-bye.